Good morning. Today's daf in Sota is Chafei. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf is long as the this month, Liba Gabriela Bashmuel. Yesterday we began the fourth parak of the Masechta. Fourth parak of the Masechta talks about who is not going to be drinking the Mesota. So the Mishnah opened up with the Arusa and the Shomeres Yavam. The Arusa, so man and a woman went through the first stage of marriage, so and for most intent and purposes they're married. They're not living together yet, and Minhag in the time of the Gemara is that they would not live together for another year. But from that point going forward they're married, and yet the Mishnah tells us that the Arusa is not going to be drinking the Mesota. The Gemara pointed out yesterday that although she's not drinking the Mesota, but there's a kinuin, there's a stira, meaning that when he warns her and she secludes and she goes against the warning of her husband, so that is effective and that creates hisser. And we spent the balance of yesterday discussing that halacha, both as it relates to an Arusa and as it relates to a Shomeres Yavam. Gemara today is going to be basically the formulation of three separate questions, two of them not having necessarily to do with Sota, but the proof will come from our Mishnah. That's why the question comes up over here. That's questions 1 and 2. The Gemara is going to ask a third question that is totally relevant to that of a Sota. And that'll be the most of today's daf. That'll take us all the way to the bottom of the Amud. And if you turn the page quickly and you look at the Amud Beis is very short. Let's begin. Let's go. Question number one. We're in Chafei Amud Aleph. We're three lines from the top of the Amud. Yibailuhu Averis Adat Tzricha Asra Lafsidik Suvasa O Eina Tzricha. Okay, so question number one of the Gemara. An Averis Aldas, somebody who violates proper conduct. I'm going to, Das literally means religion, but proper conduct. I'll explain what that means in just a moment. So her behavior is going to result in a forfeiture of her ksuva. And the question is, does she get a warning? Does she not get a warning? Now, it's interesting. Generally speaking, punishment only comes through a warning, right? And we know that Beis Din can only punish somebody only if there was a warning. And yet over here, we're talking now about the possibility of a woman forfeiting her ksuva and receiving no warning based on her on her conduct. So the excuse me. So the so that in of itself is a point of interest. We'll come back to that in just a little bit. We will we'll try to understand that a little bit better. In the meantime, let's go over some basic definitions of Averis Aldas. She is violating law, proper conduct. What are we talking about over here? It's a reference to a Mishnah in Ksuvos. The Mishnah in Ksuvos, obviously the place to discuss her Ksuva and the possibility of a forfeiture of her Ksuva. So the Mishnah in Ksuvos divides her act, her conduct into two categories. One is what's called Das Moshe, and the other one is what's called Das Yehudis. Das Moshe is Torah law. In other words, she violates Torah law. But to be fair, the Gemara over there doesn't mean just any Torah law. It's not that. And by the way, over there, that's grounds for an immediate termination of the marriage, and but that marriage in of itself doesn't terminate by itself. I think we made this point clear yesterday, but just to reiterate, a Jewish marriage doesn't just simply dissolve. It doesn't go away. Either it's going to terminate with either death or divorce. Those are the only two ways that marriage terminates. However, if there are grounds for divorce, so that's what we're discussing right now, in which the husband now needs to terminate the marriage, so the Mishnah over there divides it into two categories, Das Moshe and Das Yehudis. Das Moshe, she violates Torah law. The Gemara over there, is to be specific, is not talking about just any Torah law. It means that she is going to cause and abet him to violate Torah law. She if he refuses to cook kosher in the kitchen, she cooks non-kosher. She doesn't tell her husband when she's in Ida. Okay, so in other words, simple basic Torah law where she's going to not only be violating, but causing the husband to violate as well. So the Gemara says that totally, the Gemara over there in Tzuva says that's intolerable, that's an intolerable situation, and it will result in grounds for divorce and a forfeiture of Tzuva. That's Das Moshe. And then there's what's called Das Yehudis. Das Yehudis basically means that she's not proper conduct. She's not behaving herself properly. What does that mean? So if you look at Rashi over here, Rashi gives examples. Now, first of all, before we go through the examples of Rashi, Rashi says that our Gemara's discussion over here is centered around Das Yehudis, meaning not Das Moshe. It seems like from Rashi, although Rashi doesn't say this, and I'm injecting into Rashi, it seems from Rashi that had it been Das Moshe that she were violating, we don't even have a question. meaning at that point in time, there's no hasara that's needed, there's no warning that's necessary. It's just simply, it's grounds for a divorce and an automatic forfeiture of her ksuva. Now, I'm not saying that that's so, I'm just simply saying it seems that way from Rashi, because Rashi says that the question over here only centers around Das Yehudis. Rashi writes, now let's take a look at Rashi inside, third Rashi on the Amud of Eres al Das, Das Yehudis. Rashi says we're talking about the second category. She'ena tsnua. Rashi says she's immodest. Yotza v'rosha perua. She goes out with her hair uncovered. Tova b'shuk. She's weaving in the marketplace. I don't fully understand this, but the basic idea is that while during the weaving, so it causes her to reveal parts of her body that are normally not revealed, and so again, it's improper. It's immodest behavior. Umedaberes kol adam, and she's over socializing, speaking to men. Damar biksuva beperakamad diyotzer shlo biksuva. And again, the Gemara over there says that overes haldas also is going to result in a forfeiture of biksuva. So our Gemara now is asking a very simple question. It's really basic, and that is: warning or no warning? Meaning, she will forfeit her ksuva if she continues. But is that forfeiture of biksuva now going to require a warning or not? And Gemara views two sides of this question. So, over saldas tzricha hasra lafsid ksuva asra nitzricha. Mi amrina, do we say? Kevin de over saldas hi lo bai hasra. So on one hand, the Gemara's argument is, she's over saldas. It's immodest behavior. And therefore, it's an immediate forfeiture of ksuva. Now, even with the Gemara explaining this side of the question, Gemara's not really explaining much. So Gemara's just simply saying, and it results in immediate forfeiture. So on the other hand, odilma ti bai hasra di hasra bei te hadaba. Well, the Gemara says, or maybe, who knows? She may do tshuva, and she may take a new course in life. And if you gave her the proper warning, so maybe she will correct herself. This is how the Gemara presents the two sides of the question. I'll try later on. I'll show you Rashi later on, where I think I have a better understanding of the first side of the question. But anyway, this is the Gemara's question. This is what the Gemara presents as a question. Tashma. So the Gemara says, come in here. So now, as I pointed out in the beginning of the shiur today, this is not really a sota issue. This is a regular husband and wife. She's acting immodestly. I understand it's connected to sota because that's basically the sota. The sota is also acting immodestly. She's acting inappropriately. But the sota, however, it's much more formal. Meaning there has to be a warning in front of two witnesses. There has to be seclusion in front of two witnesses. Sota is a very specific situation. Over here, the question is more generalized too. She's violating all the proper modest behavior of Benos Yisrael. And in general, does that mean that she immediately forfeits her ksuva? However, what the Gemara now is going to, why the two issues are linked, is because we're going to quote our Mishnah in just a second, and our Mishnah is going to seem to point in a direction. Let's take a look at our Mishnah, Tashma. So we're going to go over the Mishnah that we did yesterday. Remember, the Mishnah yesterday was a long Mishnah. It was almost half the daf yesterday was the Mishnah. But anyway, what we learned in the beginning of the Mishnah was, Arutz v'shamer yavon lo shosus v'lo no lo ksuva. We learned yesterday. The first thing we learned yesterday is that an Arusa and a Shemer Yavam are not going to be drinking the Mesota, and they will be forfeiting the ksuva. Now, what did we deduce from the Mishnah? So Mishnah Hudal Shasi Akanui Maknila. The deduction is easy. That although she's not going to drink the Mesota, but there is Kinu and there's Stira. Now, resulting in what? Good question. She's not drinking the Mesota. So what's the warning and the seclusion going to result in? That's the Gemara's next point. Lamai. Lav lav sida ksuvasa. Oh, the Gemara says it must be. That you're warning her, and the issuing of the warning and the violation of the warning is going to result in a forfeiture of ksuva. So what do you see from the Mishnah? Again, with these assumptions intact, what you see from the Mishnah is that you have to warn her before she loses her ksuva. That's a deduction from the Mishnah. Amar Abayilam. So Abayi says, no, that's not what the point of the Mishnah is. The warning is not to result in a forfeiture of ksuva. La Osra Alav. The Gemara says, this is the first answer of the Gemara. You know what the Kinu and Stira does? It creates Isser, period. Meaning, as we pointed out since the beginning of the Masechta, once you go through the formality of Kinu and Stira, that's it. In other words, even though we don't know what happened in that room, the status of her now is she is a sota. And as a result of that, she's forbidden to her husband. And the resolution will be, drink the mesota. Over here, we have a small problem, and that is she's an arusa, she doesn't drink. Or she's a shomer seven, she doesn't drink. But what the warning is doing, and what the seclusion is doing, is creating iser. The Gemara says that's what the Mishnah means, and that's all the Mishnah means. Rav Papa amar lashkosa kishi nusua. Rav Papa says Now, it sounds like from the Gemara that he's arguing, but it could be that this is a complimentary answer. But either way, what Rav Papa says is that, no, you know why you're warning her while she's in Arusa? Because even though during her Erusin she can't drink, but she can drink during the Suin. Meaning that the Erusin, the warning and seclusion during Erusin will count once she goes through Nisuin. Now, admittedly, by the way, just from a common sense standpoint, correct. This seems like a strange idea, right? During Erusin, there was a warning, there was a violation of the warning, and now what? Now they're going to go to the second stage of marriage. They're going to get married, and then Mazel Tov, Sheva Brach, Sheva Brach. Sorry, it's just I'm obviously getting amused by all this. So then Sheva Brachos, and then after Sheva Brachos, okay, now let's go to the base of Mikdash. So then you can drink.
Maybe the husband didn't find out until after
the marriage. The simple pshat in the Mishnah. I don't think so. The simple pshat in the Mishnah is that the warning was issued during Erusin. Anyway, so lehashkos a kishi in nesua kid detanya. The Gemara has a brayso supporting this as well. A mekana larusa lehashkos a kishi arusa ava mekana larusa lehashkos a kishi in nesua. Okay, so the brayso says we're going to see this brayso in a couple of days from now in the daf. But okay, we'll see it. We see it today, daf chafei, and that is that the kinu and stira during Erusin is not going to result in drinking, but it basically will be a, and I'm going to use the word investment, although not the kind of investment you want to make, but it's an investment that will work or pay off during Nisuin. In other words, okay, so the kinu and stira for the Erusin can be applied so that she drinks during Nisuin. Okay. Amar Rav Tashma. So again, the Gemara says no proof. So again, back to the question. A woman, again, not a sota, just a Jewish woman, wife, she's over saldas. She says she's behaving immodestly. It will result in a forfeiture of iksuva. The question on the table is warning or no warning. That's the question. Tashma, the Gemara says, let's see. Aman al kohen gadol grusha v'chalus al kohen hejot mamzeres nesim liyisrael bas yisrael lamamzel nesim lo shosus v'lo nolus iksuva. Once again, we're quoting our Mishnah. The Mishnah, the first Mishnah, the fourth parak of Sota, tells us that when a man marries a woman, he's not allowed to marry, but the marriage takes effect, meaning Isuri Lav. So he marries a woman that he's not allowed to marry, so they go through Kinu and Stira, but she doesn't drink the Mesota. Okay, and yesterday, if you remember, we gave two explanations why that is, just to review what we learned yesterday. One is Rashi's explanation. Rashi's explanation is, Einaru L'kaima. We're not going to drink the Mesota because the Chachamim don't want this marriage to continue. Meaning he violated an Isser in order to get into this marriage. And now what are we going to do? We're going to go to the base of Mikdash and drink the Mesota. And then what? If she didn't do anything, the marriage will perpetuate. The Chachamim don't want this marriage to perpetuate. It's Einaru L'kaima. That's the that was Rashi's explanation. The Rambam's explanation, which I quoted yesterday, just to reiterate, the Rambam's explanation is no. The reason why she doesn't drink is because, remember what we learned yesterday, we're going to learn again today, it comes up a couple times in the Masechta, and that is the water only works, the water only is effective only when he, the husband, is menukam in oven, when he's free of sin. But when the husband goes in to the base of Mikdash and he did something wrong, meaning not in general, but specifically with his wife, so then the water is no longer bodek. Water no longer is effective. So the Rambam says, over here, what are we talking about? We're talking about a man who married a woman. He's not allowed to marry. So he's not menukah mi'avon. And since he's not menukah mi'avon, the water is not going to be effective. There's no point in drinking, because the water does not have its... the test of the water is ineffective. Okay. Anyway, back to our Gemara. We quoted the Mishnah, and now the Gemara says, Mishnah de lo shasi akinui makni luhu. And again, the diuk is very simple. Good. She doesn't drink the water, but there's kinu and there's stira. Ulemai. And now the next question. Why is there kinu and stira? What's the purpose of kinu and stira? Now, ili isur and alav ha'isur and v'kayman. Gemara makes a fantastic point. Is it to create isur? No. They're already usher to one another. The kinu and stira is not there to create Isser. Isser is already there. So, el alav, lav sidak zuvasan. So, it must be that the reason why you're issuing a warning is so that she understands that now she is warned, so there will be a forfeiture of her ksuva. So, am Rav Yehuda midiskarta lo. Lo osra lebo el kibbaal. The Gemara says no. Maybe the warning over here has nothing to do with the ksuva. Maybe the ksuva will already be forfeited, even without the warning. But maybe over here the issue becomes that remember a woman who is unfaithful, so she will be also to two people. She'll be also to her husband, and she'll be also to the Boa. Meaning, upon termination of this marriage, she cannot go and marry the Boa. She will be also la'olam to the Boa as well. So the Gemara says that's what the warning is for over here. The warning is for to create the kinu and stira over here is to create iser, not only for her husband, for the Boa as well. Did none? Just give me a second. The Mishnah says kishem shasur la'ba'al kachasur la'ba'al, that the just like she's also to the Boa, she's also to the Boa as well. Again, this is a Mishnah we're going to be learning later on, but that's the point of kinu and stira. Yes.
A woman who is unfaithful to her husband and is related to another man without any warning, isn't she prohibited the guy after you get divorced without any warning anyway?
That's true, but over here we don't know. Right, but remember, the Chiddush of Sota is we don't know if she actually slept with the other man. We don't know. And so now, and the only thing the witnesses saw was just seclusion. And now, with the formality of sota, meaning kinu and stira, so she is aser, even though we don't know that they committed adultery. She's aser to her husband and to the bawel as well. I'm Rabbi Chanina Misura Tashma. Gemara says, okay, let's come in here. Ve'elu shebeisim mekan lehem. Again, we're going back to our Mishnah. The question on the table is, when a woman is conducting herself immodestly, in order for her to forfeit her ksuva, does she need to be warned or does she not need to be warned? That's the question. We haven't deviated from the question. We haven't resolved the question either. But that's still the question. So we turn to our Mishnah, and the Mishnah discusses what happens if the husband becomes incapacitated. Right? Yesterday's Mishnah we learned that the husband either mentally or physically becomes incapacitated. Mentally, he goes crazy. Physically, he's locked up in prison. And now, what happens? We learned yesterday, Beis Din now is going to issue a warning to her in the absence of the husband. Okay, so the Beis Din basically assumes husband responsibility and warns her. And we learned yesterday the warning is effective. Now, if you remember yesterday's Mishnah, to what end? What's the warning of Beis Din going to do? So that was the Mishnah. Let's go over the Mishnah again. So the Mishnah says, "I'm Rabbi Chanina Misura Tashma." So if the husband becomes incapacitated, lo lahashkosa amru ela laposla miksuvasa, and the Mishnah says it. And why is Beis Din issuing a warning so that she would forfeit her ksuva? Shma mina. So actually, that proof is solid, meaning that's exactly what we were looking for. Does a woman need to be warned before forfeiting her ksuva? The answer seems to be emphatically yes. We see it in the Mishnah. And when the husband becomes incapacitated, Beis Din will issue a warning. And why? The Mishnah says so that she will forfeit her ksuva. Okay. So Shaya Chavash Bevilashkos, I'm a post on ksuva sash mamina. So now the Gemara asks a wonderful question. The Mishnah says it pretty clearly. In fact, it's so clear, one only has to wonder. Remember the other Amoraim over the course of this morning? We're trying to give proofs from other areas of the Mishnah, other sections of the Mishnah. The other Amoraim knew the Mishnah. Why don't they just quote the section of the Mishnah which states very clearly that Beis Din is issuing a warning so that she forfeits her ksuva? Why didn't they look at our... Why didn't they bring the proof from this Mishnah over here? Dilma Shani Asim, the Gemara says, perhaps it is different. Meaning, they're going to argue the following. Deleifla emasa de ba'al klal. Because over here, this woman's husband's incapacitated. And that means now that she really has, she feels alone, slightly less inhibited. So over here, the counter argument could be that if it's a woman married to her husband, let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi says it beautifully. Rashi says, "Deleisa aim sad dabal v'ilav de asrobe bedina lo hava lan lamiknasa." Look, says Rashi, in this situation over here, she does not have a husband. He's alive. It's just that he's incapacitated. So now, basically, for her to forfeit her ksuva, she needs a warning. Because she no longer now has the fear of her husband. Her husband's not around now. And so therefore, it's not that puzzling. It shouldn't be that surprising that she's acting immodestly. Because her husband is there, but not there. The ein ze pritsusi yaseirasa, And that's not considered highly immodest behavior. However, when the husband's there and the husband's functioning, and now she's acting immodestly, that's pre-susi yaseira, so that is highly immodest. So it's baby ikalamema dabalavasra nami mafsidak suvasa. And then you can make the argument that her behavior, because it's highly immodest behavior, is going to be an immediate forfeiture of ksuva. And by the way, this Rashi also helps us answer helps us understand really what the question is predicated on. Meaning, again, the question is, does a woman who is acting immodestly, she's overis al das yehudis, does she forfeit her ksuva immediately, or is she given a chance? Is she given a warning? Now, from this Rashi, the way he's presenting now this point, it seems that the side that would say that it's an immediate forfeiture of Iksuva is predicated on the fact that a woman's married and acting this way, it's pritsusi yaseira. It's not just immodest, it's highly immodest. So in other words, almost like a knas, meaning this is the way you conduct yourself, this is the way you behave, so it results in immediate forfeiture. It helps us understand a little bit better the other side of the issue of why there shouldn't be a warning. Okay, with all that stated, that ends off our first question of the day. The question is, when a woman is overis hadas, does she require warning, does she not require warning? So the Gemara used three sections of our Mishnah to try to prove the point. The last section of the Mishnah seems to prove the point very clearly. However, the Gemara ends up deflecting and the Gemara does not resolve the issue. Okay. I looked up a little bit. I knew the question was coming. I looked up a little bit. It seems like a warning needs to be issued. It seems that way. Okay. Ibailahu. Alveris Adas Varatsabala Kaima Mekaimo in a Mekaima. Okay, the second question is seems to be correlated. Let's say a woman behaves immodestly. And the husband at this point in time says, you know what? I'll live with it. I know it's not the best, but the husband is ready to live with it. Now again, remember I said at the beginning of this morning, when a woman behaves, she's overis hadas. So it's grounds for divorce, and it also let's assume that a warning is necessary, and with a warning she's going to lose her ksuva. She'll forfeit her ksuva. Well, that's true. But again, like I said in the beginning of this year today, a marriage is only terminated with either death or divorce. That's it. There's no other way to terminate a marriage. And so the marriage has not been terminated. And let's say the husband says, Afal Pikein, I know. It's not the best. She's not behaving in accordance with Das Yehudis. But still, I'm ready to tolerate it. Does he have the right to do that? That's the question. The Gemara answers. So, Overis Hadas Ratza Bala Kaima Mekaima or Ena Mekaima. Mi Amrin, and again, the Gemara seeks to clarify the question, right? Sharpen the question a little bit. Mi Amrin, Bekpeda de Baal Tal Rachmana. Is all this a function of the husband's Kpeda? Meaning there's a general assumption of what the husband can live with and what the husband cannot live with, but when all is said and done, it's really a function of what the husband can live with. Vahalo Kapin. And over here, the husband is, what may be viewed as unusual, but he's ready to live with it. Odilma came to kapit, or the Gemara says no. Or maybe the Gemara says, since we're generally makpid, so therefore we're generally makpid. Rashi explains this other side of the issue. Rashi says, Odilma came to kapit, I'm reading Rashi, Klamar. Rashi writes, came into orche de bala makpid, since this is considered normal behavior for a husband to not tolerate this kind of behavior, bahache al karche de hai nami havia. So we're basically going to tell him, I know you may not be makpid, but you should be. and because it is a norm. Women do not behave in this immodest fashion. Most men, most husbands would not be happy with it. So we're telling you that you should not be happy with it. Okay. And this, in other words, and Basin would intervene, and Basin would say, okay, we're gonna now step in. And when I say step in, by the way, and divorce, meaning they're again the marriage cannot just simply dissolve. They're going to, I'm looking for a nice word. Encourage. They're going to encourage a divorce. Okay. So that's the question. The Gemara now looks to answer the question. Sorry, lost my spot. Gemara once again turns to our Mishnah. So interesting that these are general issues, general husband and wife issues, but our Mishnah certainly has something to seems to have something to say about it. Once again, we go back to the Mishnah where the husband's incapacitated and based on issues of warning on behalf of the husband. And here's basically the Gemara's question. We don't like to strip Beis Din of their power. Right? There's an expression, the Gemara doesn't use it over here, but the Gemara uses it a number of times. Ma koch Beis Din yafa. Like, to legislate something where basically we're going to take the rug and rip it right under Beis Din, so the halacha never likes doing that. Over here, imagine. Imagine where Beis Din is intervening on behalf of the husband. And the husband right now is incapacitated. And then Beis Din says, okay, that's it. You're behaving immodestly. We're issuing a warning. And now the husband comes back and the husband says, you know what? I'm totally okay. I'm okay with it. It's fine. So what did the husband just effectively do? Strip Beis Din of their power. Right? Made Beis Din look silly. Rashi writes, Vehech anu nasim shluchim lo bedaver shu chov lo sheinu chafetz bo vekaimelan dein chavin la adam shlo befanav. So the Beis Din is doing something for a person where the person doesn't even want, and the way Rashi frames it, it sounds like Beis Din doesn't even have the right to do that, right? Ein chavin la adam shlo befanav. You can't create an obligation. Which, by the way, Ben, this goes back to our discussion that we had yesterday. Meaning, it sounds like from Rashi that the Beis Din's ability to do this is based on zachin la adam shlo befanav. So the Gemara says, "Tamad demilsekim dal veras adas he meinach nechilei." So the Gemara says that Beis Din is going to work with assumptions. Look, a lot of life is built on assumptions, and Beis Din over here is going to be working on assumptions. Assumption is, a husband's not going to want that. Husband doesn't want his wife to behave that way. So, you're right. The husband may end up coming back, and the husband may say, no, I'm perfectly fine with that. That's fine. I'm okay with my wife behaving that way. It's true that may happen, but while the husband's incapacitated, Beis Din is going to be working on what is generally assumed to be what the husband would or would not want. Okay. Ibai lahu. Baal shemachal kinuiv kinuiv machal. Okay, sorry. Period. Okay, so, second question of the day. The wife asked, the wife acts immodestly. She's overas aldas, and the husband says, I'm fine with it. So, does the husband have the right to do that? Or does Beis Din intercede and Beis Din basically encourage a divorce? So that's the second question. And again, seek the proof from our Mishnah. And again, the question seems to be unresolved. Okay, how do you stay with me? Because later I'm gonna give you an answer to the second question. Okay, third question, and this is a sota question. In order for a woman to become a sota, so there needs to be kinu and stira. A husband has to warn in front of two witnesses, and she has to seclude herself with that man in front of two witnesses. Okay, and now she becomes a sota. Husband issued a kinui. Can he take it back? Okay, right? I'm sure it's occurred, never by me, but I'm sure it's occurred to other husbands out there where they say something and then they just want to take it back. Okay, I didn't say it. No, I didn't mean it. Okay, so can the husband, but over here though, we're not talking about just the normal parlance and discussion between husband and wife. We're talking now about a formal kinui. And a warning was issued. Can the husband rescind his warning? It's a basic question. So, mi amrina bikinui debal tala rechmano uval lo macholei likinu yav. So here, the Gemara once again sharpens the question. On one hand, one can make the argument that kinui really is a function of kpedas habaal, meaning the husband doesn't like it. And now he's issuing a warning. And that warning is just simply a reflection of, I don't like it. But if the husband would like it, hard to imagine that he likes it, but right. If the husband's ready, that's better. Thank you. If the husband's ready to tolerate it, so then he could. Okay, you know what? I'll tolerate it. So he takes back his warning. Odilma came into kani le miikara lo matzimachole, or maybe no. The Gemara says the kinui was issued, and once it's issued, so that's it. There's no mechila. I can't forgive it. Again, third time today where the Gemara sharpens the question, and even after the sharpening, still, the Gemara, I still feel like I'm missing a part of what's the second side of this issue. I guess the second side of the issue is that kinu is a formality, and as a formality, as a halachic formality, that's it. Once it's offered, once it's issued, that's it. It's out there. Okay. Tashma. Ve'elu shebeisim mekanin lehu. So once again, third time today, we turn to our Mishnah. Mishnah is charish bala nishato shayya chavish beveis ha'asura and vi'i amart bal shemachal al kinu of kinu of machal. So again, we turn back to our Mishnah, the incapacitated husband, and beisim issuing a warning on behalf of the husband. Now, if you would like to argue that Beis Din issued a warning. Now you want to argue that the husband can take back that warning. So Avdina midi de ase baal machalei. Avdina midi de ase baal machalei stama de mils. I'm sorry, machalei. So over here again, the Gemara is bothered by this. Basically, the same issue we discussed earlier. Beis Din's going to do something where the husband's just going to simply rip it away. Meaning, Beis Din issued a warning. Beis Din, the husband will come back and say, "You know what? I know Beis Din issued a warning. I rescind it. We're gonna allow that." So the Gemara says again, "Stam demelsa adamaskim al das Beis Din." So again, the Gemara's answer is, "We're gonna operate with assumptions. Assumption is a husband, generally speaking, is going to agree with such a warning. Would not want, while incapacitated, where the assumption is a husband would not want his wife to behave that way. And he would agree with the warning that was issued by Beis Din. And yes, it's true, there may be the occasional time where the husband comes out of incapacitation and the husband says, "No, I'll tolerate that." That may be true. It's worth the risk, basically, the Gemara says. Well, the Beis Din's going to operate on what is considered a normal response to the husband. Tashma. We turn now to a Mishnah that we saw earlier in the Masechta, Daf Zayin, and that is on the way to the Beis Hamikdash en route to Talmid Chachamim are sent together with them, basically to make sure that they remain separated from one another until they get to the Beis Hamikdash, because again, if they have relations on the way to the Beis Hamikdash, the Mesota is called off. Because he's no longer Manuka mina oven. So the Gemara says, so let's think about this. If you're right, if the husband can rescind his kinui, so you know what? I got a great idea. Why not, on the way to the Beis HaMikdash, the husband says, "You know what? I'm interested in getting back here with my wife. I'll rescind the kinui." To which the Gemara says, if that's true, why would you have Talmid Chachamim coming along? So the Gemara says, that's not a question. In fact, just the opposite. Now the Gemara says, I have the answer. So the Gemara says, Maishna, Rashi says, this is now the Gemara answering the question. Maishna Talmid Chachamim, di Gemiri, di Baile Mival, Amrei lo Achle Lekanuye, Chubala. So the Gemara says, that's exactly why we have Talmid Chachamim there. Because Talmid Chachamim went through Masechta Sota, they know the Gemara, and they know. Again, right now we're assuming, we don't know if this is in fact the halacha, but they know that if you want to rescind on a kinui, you could do that. In fact, they'll tell the husband, "You don't want to go through with this, you don't want to go to the Beis HaMikdash, you want to get back together with your wife? Okay, you know what? Be mochel, rescind your kinui, and then you can get back to her." Now, Rashi points out, Rashi points this out at the beginning. Right now, the Gemara is laying out the question of, can the husband rescind the kinui? You realize at this point in time, it's not just a kinui he's rescinding. Meaning, if we're talking about the Talmid Chachamim going to the Beis HaMikdash, we're at kinui, and we're also post-stira as well. And as Rashi points out, in the Gemara is in the moment just going to realize, are we asking the question after stira, or are we asking the question before stira? So stay tuned, because we're gonna clarify that point. But right now, obviously, if we're going to the Beis HaMikdash, we're obviously after stira. Tashma. Gemara says, let's see. I'm Rav Yoshia, Shlosha Dvarim Sachli Zeira, Masha Yerushalayim. Three things were told to me by Zeira from the assembly of the men of Yerushalayim and Baal Shemachal, Kinuiv Kinuiv Machal. Three people can rescind. Number one, a husband who issues a warning can rescind. Number two, Zakin Mami, Shirazu Beisel Lem Cholom Ochlen Lom. After the Sanhedrin comes up with a ruling, came up with a psak, one of the members of Beis Din says, "You know what? I don't agree." Now, at the time of the vote, he has every right to have a vote. Everyone has a vote, and not everyone. Every member of Beis Din has a right to vote. Okay, so during the vote itself, you wanna vote against, that's fine. But after Beis Din comes up with a psak, so that's it. So every member of the Beis Din, even the ones who voted against, has to be compliant. And if there is anyone who would like to rebel. So after the vote, so that person is a zakin mamri chayv misa. And let's say, right? Okay. So the second thing mentioned by the Anshei Yerushalayim is that if the members of the Beis Din would like to be mochel on their kavod, they may do so, and not take the zakin mamrim, not put him to death. And finally, Ben Sora Amar Sheratzu Avivim on Limchol Amochin Lo. And what if the father and mother of a Ben Sora Amar would like to be mochel? So the third thing mentioned by Anshei Yerushalayim is they also can be mochel as well.
Seems that way.
Meaning we're talking about mechila from a death sentence. Meaning in general, mechila applies in many areas in halacha.
Right.
These are three areas where right we're looking at a potential death sentence.
But these punishments are midoraita. How could the?
Great, good, very good. So at least by sota I know the answer, because by sota it started all with a kinui. So once he takes the kinui away, so then she's no longer. Yeah, right. I know. I hear you. Now, ukishabati it's a chaver shabedarim. Then I went to the south and I asked my friends in the south. Okay, my friends in the south. Probably a reference to the Talmidim Rabbi Akiva, right? The Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda.
Who's this speaking?
This is Rabbi Yoshia. The Tana Rabbi Yoshia. So then I went to my friends in the south, and Al Shnaim Ahoduli, Val Zakim Marmila Ahoduli. And of the three, two of them they agreed, and one they did not agree. And the one they did not agree was Zakim Mamre. Shalo Yirbu Machlokis Be Yisrael, because Zakim Mamre really destroys the institution of Beis Din and creates Machlokis. And it's devastating. So on that, there can be no mechila, says the Anshei Darim. Okay. Now, anyway, what comes out from all this is Shema Minah, Baal Shema Achle Kino Kino Evmachol, Shema Minah. But what do we gain from all this? What we gained is, we answered question number three. Question number three was, of today, when a husband issues a kinui, can he rescind that kinui? The answer is yes. Meaning both the Anshei Yerushalayim and the Chachmei Darim both agree that you can rescind the kinui. And now, let's move on where the Gemara is going to pinpoint this third point. But before we do so, Tosfos points out, the first Tosfos on the Amud says, really what we just did is we answered question number three, and we answered question number two as well. What was question number two? Question number two was, can a husband tolerate his wife's immodest behavior? Tosfos says, the answer is yes. Meaning, at least we now know the answer is yes. Why? And Hedy, this is now where I'm getting back to you. Because Tosfos says, because what just happened? The wife acted immodestly. She's talking to other men to the point where the husband's now saying, could you please stop talking to that other man? Right, I don't like it. Right, and even though after he issued a warning, what can he do? He could take back the warning. Built into that point is also his wife is acting immodestly, and the husband, if he wants to, is allowed to tolerate that. Okay, so we answered, so Tosfos says, we answered question number three and we answered question number two as well. Yes.
Does it depend on which part of the sota process?
Ah, good.
They erased the name already.
Good. Shema minah pligi bar Rav Acha. Danny, I'm answering you by going further in the Gemara, because the Gemara is now going to ask your very question. Pligi bar Rav Acha, Ravina charamar kodem stira machal, lachas stira namachal, v'charamar lachas stira nami machal. So the Gemara says, the rescinding of his kinui, is there a line in the sand? And the Gemara says that's a machlokas. Some say that he can rescind it, but only before stira. Some say that he can rescind it even after stira. Mistabra kamanda amra eno machal. And the Gemara says, and it's more logical, it's more reasonable to argue that after stira, that's it. We've gone now to the point of no return. That if there was kinui and there was stira, he can no longer rescind his kinui. Me mine. And the Gemara says, and how do I know that? Me dekam ahad rabbanu Rabbi Yossi, de Tanya. Let's look at the following exchange that takes place between these Tanaim. Rabbi Yossi omer bala ne'aman ala mekal v'chomer. Rabbi Yossi says, and again, this goes back to a point that we learned earlier in the Masechta. Rabbi Yossi says, you don't need to tell me to chacham and to escort them to the Beis HaMikdash. Husband on his own is good. Why? Ma nida shi bekaris bala ne'aman ala, because when it comes to a nida, when a husband's wife becomes a nida, do we have talmidei chachamim now moving in with them? Of course not. and agreed. That would be unusual. So, and of course not. So sota she balav lo kol shekain. And Rav Yossi's argument is a sota, that's only an isser lav. Not in Yitzhak HaRetz, it's on a lower level. So I don't need based into, I don't need Talmid Chacham to accompany. Amru lo, the counter argument, which you probably already thought of. Amru lo, lo. Just one second. Imam art benidah shekein yish laheter. Tomer besota shein laheter. So when it comes to nida, okay, this is a temporary yisur, right? The expression used very often is pas besalo, right? It's right now they're asur, but later on, okay, she'll be mutter to him, muteris. But when it comes to the sota, right now the sota, until you get to the mei sota, which is obviously beyond any human control, but once you get to the mei sota, then and only then we'll have the issue resolved. But until that point in time, this is a unresolvable issue. Until the Mesota. Via Martlacher Stira Machole Mishkachala Dieshla Heter. Now, if the husband had the ability to rescind his kinui, so what was that argument? Ain La Heter. That's not necessarily true. Yesh La Heter, if the husband rescinds his kinui. Di bai machole liknuye ubal. Elashmamina lacher stira na machoshmamina. So it must be that you saw from that exchange between Rav Yossi and the Chachamim, where the Chachamim says, you know, by the Sota, we've hit the point of no return. It must be there's a point of no return. And that must mean that after the stira, he can't rescind his kinui. Okay.
But how is that the construct of the Kalafomer?
The way the Kavachomer operates is as follows. Okay, I'll just go over it one more time, and then afterwards, we can go over it again. But the construct of the Kavachomer is by an Isser Kares, meaning Nida. Right. So we don't have them Hatamid Chachamim moving in with them, right. And that's by a harsh Isser. And there's no need. So by the Sota, which is a lighter Isser, right. So we certainly don't need Talmid Chachamim moving in with them. Okay. Mesu ba'aleihem ashelo shasu beishamai v'chulei. Okay. They're en route to the Beis HaMikdash, and unfortunately the husband dies. Okay. Now we're calling the whole thing off because there's no drinking of the Mesota without the husband. Okay. That part we know. And the truth be told is, we don't need to resolve any issue because the marriage no longer is unresolvable. He's no longer here. Okay, understood. The question on the table is she going to receive her ksuva, yes or no? Now again, in order to understand the next couple lines of Gemara, something that we've gone over many times in Masechta Ksuvos. What is a ksuva? A ksuva is a lot of things. But for our purposes, a ksuva is a prenuptial agreement between husband and wife that in the event of death or divorce, she will receive a payment. Now, in order to secure that payment, what is that payment going to be secured with? Property. Husband, the property that the husband owns is going to now secure that payment. So basically, it is a paper backed by property. Okay? Mortgage. It's not really a mortgage, but okay? It's a paper being secured by property. And so now... Yeah, actually, no, I'm sorry. It is a mortgage. It's a lien. It's a lien against an obligation. And so now it's a question which I know you can, you know, ask this question in contemporary times as well. It's a very simple question. When you have a lien on a piece of property, how much are you considered the owner of that property? Good. Simple question, and the Gemara says, and that's really at the root of the issue over here. But now, remember, what was the two? Let's go over the two opinions in the Mishnah. Beit Shammai says that she collects her ksuva. Beit Hillel says she does not collect her ksuva. What's that issue over here? Beit Shammai is of the opinion that that when you have a collectible, but it's not just an account receivable. It's more than account receivable. It is a lien against a property. So it's there, right, and that property is there. So are you considered as a lien holder on that property? Are you considered now the current owner of that property? And that's what Beit Shammai says. Beit Shammai says, yes, you are. Now, the no is correct, by the way, because we're going to go like Beit Hillel. But Beit Shammai says, yes, you are. And that explains the opinion of Beit Shammai. Yes, it's true right now that the Mesota was going to... The next thing that was going to happen is that she was going to drink the Mesota, and that was going to resolve the issue, but the husband died. And so when she's not going to drink the Mesota. Now, is she entitled to collect her ksuva? She already collected it by virtue of the fact that she's a lien holder, means it's kegavui dami, and so therefore she's entitled to her ksuva. And Beis Hillel says no. Beis Hillel says, turn the page, top of Chafam and Beis. Beis Hillel says, "Shtar omen legavus lav kegavui dami." And Beis Hillel says no. It is not a shtar omen legavus, even though it stands to be collected, but when is she really now making a tviya, a demand for her ksuva? Not from the time of the marriage. Now. She has the paperwork, she has the ksuva, but it's now. And now we have a legitimate question, and that is, there was kinui, there was stira, you were with a man in a room. You right now may be an adulteress. In fact, there was so much reglam ladavar. Do you know that we were en route to the base of Mikdash so that you drink the mesota? And so now we have a general rule, and that is that she right now is a safek in terms of whether she's entitled to her ksuva. The husband, or let's now say the estate, because the husband's dead. The estate now is a muchzak hamotzi mechaver al avaraya. And so now, based on the basic rules of monetary transaction, she's not entitled to the ksuva anymore. Okay.
She doesn't have possession of
her. Exactly. Perfect. Perfectly stated. Correct. Okay. Muveres Chavero. Let's start it. Really, this discussion, I know it's, you know, most of the Amud Beis, but the Amud Beis is about 10 lines. Anyway, let's start this discussion now. We'll continue tomorrow. Muveres Chavero. Amar Rav Nachman. Amar Rava. Baravua Machlokas. Ba'akar V'zikena. The whole debate in our Mishnah is a woman who is either an akara, she is infertile, or she's a zakena, or she's old. Aval island is ksuva. But if it's an islandess, there is no debate in our Mishnah, even though there is a debate in our Mishnah, but by the islandess, there's no debate. Lo shosav lo not los ksuva. We're in agreement that man marries an islandess, and she says, Kino in the steerer, she does not drink the mesota. Why? Shinemar. Vinikta Venizra, Zera, Misha Darkal Azria, Yasazushu in Darkal Azria. Because we know that there are going to be two possible outcomes of the drinking of the mesota. One, she was with the man in that room alone, which means that she'll die. Two, she wasn't with that man, which means that she'll have a baby. Right? The Torah says those are your two outcomes. And the way that Rav Nachman is presenting it, those two outcomes are connected, meaning that there at least has to be the possibility of her becoming pregnant. By the islandess, there's no possibility. So since there's no outcome two, we therefore...
What about Akar? Akar is a possibility.
I'm with you. Tomorrow, it's a good question. Well, tomorrow we'll go over that point. But with islandess, she is constructed, her physiologically, anatomically, she's constructed in a way where there's no option two, therefore there's no option one as well. So the Gemara says that for the islandess, according to Rav Nachman, where there's no machlokas that the islandess is not going to be drinking. This is where we'll start the discussion today. Tomorrow, Meisvei, we're going to open up with a brisa challenging this position of Rav Nachman, and we'll go on to discuss. Okay.